so June 29th, 2010 in Croatia. The Stealing of the Boys and Calves by Rama. So this chapter, 13, is the very last anything that Srila Prabhupada dictated. So the very last book purport, anything that Prabhupada dictated, was Bhagavatam 10th Canto, chapter 13. So those of you who have seen the video of Prabhupada's final days, you've seen that video? Prabhupada lying in bed and Jayadeva Maharaj is putting the microphone right up to Prabhupada's mouth. And this is the chapter that we're studying today. That's the chapter that he was dictating in that condition. So this particular chapter is a very nice meditation on how Srila Prabhupada was so determined to give Krishna consciousness to others. You know, generally a person in their last month when they're not even eating and drinking. It's not going to be engaged in translating. Now, this, I asked Jayadeva Maharaj about this chapter, and he said that while Srila Prabhupada lay down on his bed, Prajumna, having studied the Sanskrit verses and the Sanskrit commentaries that Srila Prabhupada preferred, would read those to Prabhupada in Sanskrit in small portions. And some portions Prajumna would translate and read out, and some Prabhupada himself would translate, and then Srila Prabhupada would comment. The translations and commentary recorded on tape were then blended together and edited to become the text for this chapter. That was how this 13th chapter was created. And again, for any of you who weren't here yesterday, so these classes are from Krishna Book, from the 10th Canto of Bhagavatam, in this case, Srila Prabhupada's translation in purport, and also from Nectar Devotion, from the commentaries of the Acharyas on this chapter, and also from any other shastras that the Acharyas and Srila Prabhupada are referring to, then I often went back to the original and did more research. All right. So hearing this story has a special benediction. The story we heard yesterday gets rid of the poison in the heart. And this particular story fulfills all of one's spiritual desires. So, I'd like us to take a minute to meditate on our spiritual desires. Think about what are your spiritual desires. Chanting the story, hearing the story, or even wanting to hear the story will fulfill all of one's spiritual desires. So, this story of Brahma stealing the boys and calves happens on a day that we celebrate every year. Does anybody know what day this is? Balaram's appearance day, yes. And that's going to be, I believe, August 24th this year. So, this pastime happens on Balaram's appearance day. And the first thing that happened was, what demon was killed on this day? Agasura. I'm going to make sure you don't say Agasura. If you say Agasura instead of Agasura, it means, if you say Agasura, it means Aga the demigod. If you say Agasura, it means Aga the demon. Okay. Aga literally means sin. So, just like even on this planet, whenever some really bad guy is killed, there's a celebration. isn't it? I know in America, after the defeat of the Axis in World War II, there was a big celebration all over the streets of America. So after Agasura was killed, the demigods had a party. And their party went all the way up to Brahmaloka. Now, just like right now, there's this, where we have this camp, there's this restaurant next door that plays music. You know sometimes how when your next door neighbors are having a party, you can hear it? So the demigods were having this party. It was in the planets right next to Brahmaloka. Brahma could hear the party going on. So naturally, if your neighbors are celebrating, especially if your neighbors are in Janaloka, Tapaloka, and Maharloka, and they're great sages, if they're celebrating, of course you're going to go and see what they're celebrating. So Lord Brahma comes to see what they're celebrating, and as he does, he sees that there is an airplane going to Vaikuntha with someone who'd attained Swarupa Mukti. And he sees that this jiva who's attained Swarupa Mukti was Agasura. Like the great yogis, they try to meditate on Krishna in their heart, but with Agasura, Krishna personally walked into his heart, practically speaking. So he attained Swarupa Mukti. So Brahma sees Agasura, who's now attained Swarupa Mukti and has a Vishnu-like form, going to Vaikuntha, and all the demigods celebrated, and he's thinking, so he decides he's going to go to the Earth planet and find out what's happening. So after Sukadeva Goswami tells us that Brahma came to see, he then casually mentions to Maharaj Pariksit that, oh, by the way, the cowherd boys didn't... Oh, fire is tomorrow. Fire is tomorrow. But that's right. And this one, what did the cowherd boys not do? There's something, now this is going to be a very important part of this story. Because generally the cowherd boys came back from the forest every day. And there was something they did as soon as they got back to the village of Vrindavan. What did they do every day? No, before they rested. Yes, they talked about what happened. Don't you do that? A man goes out to work, he comes home, and he tells what happened. And the cowherd boys would come home, and they'd say, Krishna did this, and Krishna did this, and Krishna did this, and Krishna did this. But when Agasura was killed, and the cowherd boys came home, what happened? For 1 year. So... that doesn't usually happen. You don't usually come home and say, oh, I forgot to tell you a year ago. So the cowherd boys have, now hold on to this because it will be important later on in the story. So they didn't say anything for 1 year. So Maharaj Pariksit naturally asked, why not? What happened? And that was the lead-in for Sukadeva Goswami to tell this story. Maharaj Pariksit thought there must be some one of Krishna's energies involved here. And he enlivened Sukadeva Goswami with his questions. This question and answering is at the root of all of the Shastra. So Sukadeva Goswami starts to say, well, after Agasura was killed, everybody was very hungry. Actually, the cowherd boys assumed that Krishna was hungry, but they didn't want to say that. So they said, oh, Krishna, we're very hungry. Actually, no, Krishna told the cowboys, you must be hungry. And cowboys told Krishna, you must be hungry. And Krishna says, okay, well, here's a perfect place for us to have our lunch. And just like when we're looking for a picnic, you know, Krishna really likes to have picnics. Prabhupada also liked to have picnics. They said, this is perfect because the sand is very soft. And we can hear the birds and the peacocks and the rustling leaves. Just like our neighbors, they want to eat with some music in the background. Where you go to a high-class restaurant and there'll be live performers playing. Isn't it? You ever been to a high-class restaurant where there was live music? So the music that Krishna has is of the birds and the peacocks and the rustling leaves. And there was also the fragrance of lotus flowers, a nice fragrance, nice music, soft sand. And then there was a circle of trees around the area. And you know sometimes how the trees grow together over a path? So the trees grew together over this circle, and the intertwining branches made a canopy of shade for all of them to eat. So the boys, now this is also important. Before the boys ate, what do you think they did with the calves they were watching? They made them drink water. And then what did they do? Tied them up. If you're watching little calves. What's interesting is that Krishna Balaram and their friends, they started watching the calves when they were only about 3 years old. Right now they're 5. And, you know, we don't think of 3-year-olds as doing anything valuable in life. But so they're watching the little calves, and they tied them up before they ate. They wanted to make sure that they wouldn't run away. And they tied them up in a place where there'd be soft grasses. So yeah, they drank from the Jamuna and then they tied them up. Of course, the grass in Vrindavan, when Krishna was there, after the calves would eat it, it would immediately grow back. So they'd have plenty of grass to eat. And then they were eating. They sat in a circle with Krishna in the center. And although Krishna was in the center, he was facing every cowherd boy, not only with his eyes, but his whole body was facing them. Like my body's right now just facing there. It's not really facing anybody. And if I want to see you, I have to turn at least my head. If I wanted to face each other, I have to turn my whole body. But all the cowherd boys all around Krishna saw that Krishna was directly facing them. And the acharyas say, this reminds us of Bhagavad Gita 13:14, the description of a super soul, that his hands and legs and his eyes are everywhere. And the cowherd boys were in concentric circles with Krishna at the center. And if seen from above, as Brahma was seeing them, it looked like a rainbow. Do you know the colors of the rainbow? So the inside of the circle where Krishna was red. And what's the next color in the rainbow? Yeah? Purple is all the way at the outside. So red, orange, then yellow, then green, then light blue, then indigo, then purple. Those are the same colors, by the way, of the chakras if you go bottom to top. So the boys look like a circular rainbow with Krishna in the center. And then remember, these were very little boys, only like 5 years old. And in those days, they didn't have paper plates. So the mothers had sent lunch for them, and the lunches were in a basket. So some of the boys used the basket like a plate. And what else did they use for plates? Anybody know? Leaves. What else? Flowers? Tree bark? Or rocks? So they had their baskets, leaves, tree bark, flowers, or rocks. They used them as plates. And then they were all sharing their food. And this is one of the things that astonished Lord Brahma. You know, usually when we offer food to the Lord, we have a certain ritual. And if you're all going to make an offering to Lord Vishnu, you offer in the sacrificial fire. It's very complex rituals. You have to be properly trained brahmana. But they were all sharing their food. You know, hey, Krishna, here's this samosa. Why don't you check it out? Prabhupada says that sometimes, you know, Mother Yasoda and Nandamarj, they were the king and queen of Vrindavana, so sometimes Krishna would get very fancy food, and the cowherd boys might get simple food. But then Krishna would give this fancy food to the cowherd boys. He'd eat their simple food. So some of the cowherd boys who had a samosa, they opened up the samosa a little bit. They took out all the veggie inside, and they put jasmine flowers in, and they closed it back up again. And then they gave it to a friend. And, you know, when you bite into your samosa and you find there's jasmine flowers, then you start hitting the other kid, right? And then the kid who put the flowers in, he runs away from the circle. They're all telling jokes with each other. And then a bee came and was about to bite Madhu Mangal. And all the cowherd boys are saying, oh, he's going to bite a brahmana and go to hell. And then some of the boys were looking over at the monkeys that were at a distance and saying, hey, they were telling the monkeys to eat the food of the other boys. And as they were eating, you know, generally, again, we eat with our right hand, right? But Krishna, he was eating with both hands. So Lord Brahma's watching this and thinking, this is my Lord Narayana. Joking around, playing games. Everybody's just kind of throwing their food around, putting flowers in their samosas. Right? And then Krishna, in his right hand, he had pickle. In his left hand, what did he have in his left hand? Fruit and? Mixed with what? Yogurt and rice. So he was holding some, he picked it with his left hand. Normally we don't eat with our left hand. He was picking it with his left hand. Yogurt and rice and little bits of fruit. And the little bits of fruit were sticking out between his very soft fingers. And then he had pickle in his right hand. And at this time, Krishna's wish-fulfilling and pastime energies combined together to entice Lord Brahma to do something that would make Krishna very happy. So at this point, the calves wandered away, which is interesting because they were tied up. So as the calves wandered away, all of Krishna's friends became very scared. If you're supposed to be taking care of something, and you kind of space out, and that'll happen again with the fire. So, you know, you're not doing your service properly, and the cows and calves were the livelihood of the community. So the boys were really afraid that they were going to be in trouble, and they were also afraid because they cared about their calves. But this is interesting that they were afraid, because we know that Abhaya Chadanata Vrinda, that one who takes shelter of Krishna, they have no fear. But yet, as part of the Leela, they're displaying fear. And then Krishna's so kind. You know, we talk about being Krishna's servant. So generally, the servant, if there's any trouble, goes and takes care of it. But here Krishna says, no, no, you don't disturb your lunch. I'll go take care of it. I'll take care of the problem. So he still had food in both hands. Okay? And he's walking around with food in both hands. And he's looking in mountains, mountain caves, and valleys. He's looking for a very, very long time. And while he's looking, Lord Brahma took away both the calves and the boys. Now, it's mentioned that Brahma is materially born, and thus he is subject to the four defects: imperfect senses, illusion, cheating propensity, and mistakes. And Brahma wanted to see Krishna's pastimes and Krishna's power. Of course, this is not the proper way to do it. One should want to see Krishna's pastimes, but not in this way. And of course, although all the boys and calves were taken, who was not taken? Who wasn't taken? Balaram, because he was? He was not there. Okay. And there's some reasons why Balaram was not taken, which we'll get to. So one explanation is that Brahma couldn't have really taken away the real boys and calves, just like Ravana couldn't touch Sita. So one explanation is that the real boys were covered by yoga maya, and Brahma took shadows, or maya boys, maya calves. At this point then, before we get there, actually, all of Krishna's associates, Ananda Chinmaya Rasa, Pratibhavita Bhis, Tabir Jaeva Nijarupa Tayakalabi, Goloka Eva Nivasatya Kilata Ruta, all of Krishna's associates are expansions of his pleasure energy. So even if you're a great demigod like Brahma, you can't just take them away. But Krishna's looking for them, you know, first he's looking for the calves, and he comes back and he's looking for the boys, as if he really doesn't know what happened, as if he's bewildered. He doesn't know what to do. Remember yesterday with Kaliya, when the boys and cows apparently died from drinking the water? Krishna also just seemed like he didn't know what to do. And it's described that Krishna was like an actor. And this way, Brahma is thinking, yes, I've bewildered Krishna. Now he doesn't know what to do. Then it seemed that after looking extensively, then he understood. Ah, Brahma's taken my friends. And at this point, Krishna expanded himself, and he became each one of the boys and each one of the calves. And this was both to bewilder Lord Brahma and to please all the residents of Vrindavan. And Krishna had every individual characteristic of every boy and calf. So not only did he look like each one of them, but he had their personal likes and dislikes. Sometimes devotees think that being Krishna conscious means that I no longer have any likes and dislikes. I no longer have anything that I want to do. I don't have any opinions. I don't have any desires. But we see the perfect devotees, they have likes and dislikes. They have their favorite color. They have their favorite food. Their personalities. Personalities mean that you have certain individual characteristics. And each cowherd boy and each calf had exactly the personal characteristics of the original ones. And then Krishna's pastimes went on, day after day, exactly as before. Except that was one thing. One thing was that the parents' love for their children started to increase in the same way that it was for Krishna. So in one sense, although Krishna became exactly like the boys and calves, it wasn't completely, totally, absolutely exactly. And one of the evidences for this is that the love the parents had for their children increased. And the parents no longer distinguished their children and someone else's children. Just like this mother. What's your little boy? What's his name?
Ramai.
So just like, and your name is?
Amritadoya.
Just like Amritadoya. So she has more affection for Ramai than for all the other little boys. It's natural. Right? The parents naturally, they have more affection for their own children. The other children can be just as cute or maybe cuter. But they're going to feel more affection for their own child. You distinguish. Right? One of the difficult things for me to do as a teacher, because I had my own children as my students, was how do you not give your own children special attention? And one of my children didn't like that. He would say, "You're supposed to give me special attention. I'm your son." Even now, he's grown up and he still says that. I said, "Mata, why didn't you give me special attention when you were my teacher?" So could you imagine if parents didn't distinguish between their children and anyone else's children? But because all of the children were Krishna, the parents loved all of the children equally. So this was astonishing. And this was a way in which the cowherd boys and the calves were not exactly like the original one. And you might say, well, why did Krishna allow that? Why didn't he have it exactly the same? And that is because Krishna is subordinate to prema. And because of the love of the devotees, he allowed them to understand that he was Krishna. What's also amazing is that nobody noticed this. I mean, wouldn't you notice? If in your community the parents started loving all the children the same, their children, other, wouldn't you notice it? But nobody noticed. Even, who didn't notice? Balaram even didn't notice. Nobody noticed. So that was one way in which they were different. There was one more way in which something didn't happen that normally always happened. What didn't happen?
We didn't tell this story.
Yes. For that whole year, they never told any stories. When the cowherd boys would come home, never, not one day during that year, did they ever say, "Guess what Krishna did today?" And again, nobody noticed. Because they weren't really the cowherd boys.
So what they were doing in the woods?
Well, they were doing all of their pastimes, but they just didn't come home and talk about Krishna. I guess because they were Krishna. As mentioned, those two things were different. That they didn't come home and say, "Guess what demon Krishna killed today?" And the love increased so much so that the parents no longer distinguished between their children. For me as a mother, that's almost inconceivable that you wouldn't distinguish between your child and other people's children in your affection. Okay. Now, almost a year has passed. It's now about 5 or 6 days before Balaram's birthday. So this is what how everything's gone on for almost 1 year. And now the fathers are watching the cows. And where are they? The top of Govardhan Hill. Who here has ever been to Govardhan Hill? Who's ever been to Govardhan Hill? Who has seen a picture, at least, of Govardhan Hill? Who's seen a picture of Govardhan Hill? Okay, what's all over Govardhan Hill? Govardhan Hill is covered with rocks. Little rocks or big rocks? Very big rocks. So, Krishna and the cowherd boys, who were really Krishna, and the calves, who were really Krishna, were at the bottom of Govardhan Hill, and the men and the cows were at the top. Would anybody here want to run down Govardhan Hill? No. It'd be almost impossible to run down Govardhan Hill. It's huge rocks. But the cows, as soon as they saw their calves, and generally with animals, most animals, not all animals, most animals, when they have a new baby, they're not so attached to the older baby. A few exceptions, like elephants are an exception. Especially the elephant mothers and the elephant daughters, they have a lifetime bond. But most animals, once the little baby has grown up a little bit and they have another baby, they lose their attachment for the first babies. So these cows had already had new calves. So you wouldn't have expected them to be so attached to the calves that were at the bottom of the hill. But they were so attracted that they started racing down Govardhan Hill. It's explained like the four legs were coming together as if they only had two legs. Prabhupada writes, join front and rear legs. So if you've ever seen horses galloping really fast, where the front legs are together and the back legs are together, and their tails were up, if you ever see cows running when they're very happy, their tails were straight up and their heads were straight up. And although the path was very, very rough, and as they were running, milk was pouring out of their udders onto the ground. So animals that give milk, if they're feeling affectionate toward their babies, the milk is what we call lets down, and it starts pouring out of the udder. So what's interesting here is they didn't even notice the rocks. They didn't even notice the rocks. I once went to a training session about different teaching techniques. And our professors were teaching us that if you concentrate on the goal instead of the obstacle, then the obstacle goes away. We could actually even do a little exercise here if we have enough chairs. Would you like to do a little exercise? Okay. All right, we need you in groups of three, same gender. So if you guys could get into groups of three ladies or three men. And every group has to have a chair. And we're going to do a little exercise about the cows running down the hill. Groups of threes. You guys in the corner too, you know, get up. Come on, guys. Groups of three, and everyone has to have one chair in the group. Just one chair in the group. Okay. And then I need somebody to demo up here with me. Yeah, I need another person. Okay, I'm going to show you what we're going to do, and then you'll do it yourself. Okay, so this is the cow. That's the calf. And I'm the rocks on Govardhan Hill. Okay. So now your goal is you want to shake hands. Okay, the cow wants to shake hands with the calf. Okay, that's your goal. All right. Now I'm the rock.
I'm going to be holding your shoulders, and not too hard, but hard enough that I'm pressing down a little bit. Okay? Can you feel me pressing down? Okay. Now you're going to do this three times. First of all, calf, I want you to look away. Don't smile and look away. Look at the wall. Now turn your whole body. Turn your whole body. Look at the wall and no, not that far. Yeah, and no smile. No, really, you have to. No, we're going to need another bonus here. Okay. No smiling. Okay. All right, now you're going to get up and shake your hand, okay? Get up and shake your hand. Okay? Sit down again. Okay, now turn around and look at it. But no smiling, and don't just like that, yes, okay? Not so rough. Okay? And you want to make sure you're holding with the same amount of pressure each time. Okay? Is that about the same amount of pressure? Okay, now hold out your hand. Hold out your right hand. One, and smile. Okay, now get up and shake. Okay, can you feel the difference?
Yes.
Okay, I'd like you all to try that with all the three times. So, and you can each take turns. Everyone should have a turn being the cow, everyone should have a turn being the calf, and everyone should have a turn being the rock.
To be continued, part 2.